Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Hey, it's great to be in church with everyone tonight, and thanks for being here. Hope you've all had a great day. But tonight, I think tonight's message carries on really nicely from this morning's as well. If you're in church this morning and heard Tim's, there's a lot of parallels that we can draw out of these two messages. So I think there's a clear message that God has for us today. And if you missed that message this morning, I encourage you to go back and have a listen or a watch to that one as well. But I know that it's a great word tonight, so I'm excited to share it with you all. I wonder if you've had expectations for something in your life and you've been let down. I think all of us have been there at some point or another to have an expectation, whether that be for a restaurant that promised really great things and then it came out and the meal was left cold or the service was slow. Maybe a movie that you'd been waiting to be released for a really long time and then you got there and the movie didn't deliver to what you thought was going to happen. Or maybe your football team, having not won a final in 20 years, makes it and then gets smashed in the final anyway. Sorry, Essendon supporters. Maybe it was Hamilton. Hamilton is the big thing at the moment. Everyone's about Hamilton, going and seeing Hamilton, and it's massive. I saw it on Netflix, and that was enough for me. I don't know. It might be controversial, but I'm not going to stand here tonight and lie to you. I've seen probably my fair share of musicals. When it comes to musicals, I would say I am more cultured or more understood in the area of musicals than most males, because I grew up with two older sisters and they loved musicals. They were in a lot of musicals, and so I've seen probably more musicals than most people have in their lifetime. And there was a musical when I was young that I actually really enjoyed, and it was Cats the Musical. Everyone know that musical, Cats the Musical? And one day, I'll never forget, we were overseas and we saw these signs for Cats the Musical as a family. And we recognized the signage. It was the exact professional signage that we've seen in the past. And the tickets were really, really cheap. And so we're like, we've got to go. We've got to get these tickets for this Cats the Musical. And so we bought tickets and we were anticipating all day this show that we'd managed to steal the world's cheapest tickets for, until we arrived and realized that the theater was a lot smaller than we'd anticipated. And we were put right down in the front row. And a word of advice for anyone that's a non-musical theatre enthusiast: if you walk into a theatre and there's less than 50 people, then run. Get out of there, because they often like invite you into the show and they like come and sit in your lap. I've had that happen to me before. It's humiliating. But anyway, in this show, it was this tiny theatre. We were at the front row and we were getting ready for Cats, and kind of the warning bells were going off. But they, oh, sure enough, they come out, and it was Cats the Musical, but it was the sock puppet edition. And so it was the sock puppet version of Cats the Musical. It was so disappointing. And so we sat through this in the front row. There was nowhere we could hide. We just had to nod along. And it turns out that I think it was Czechoslovakia or something like that, where it was a big thing to be like in a puppet theater. But we had no idea. And had we prepared for this show, expecting to come into a puppet show, maybe we would have been impressed somewhat or accepted it. But the fact that we'd gone in anticipating that it was actually Cats the professional musical, we were left let down. We were left disappointed and underwhelmed. And as I prepared for this message, I've been challenged on that word, expectations. And whilst in itself there can be nothing really wrong with expectations, oftentimes the enemy can use our own expectations to lead to discouragement and ultimately steer us away from God, what God would have for us. To allow things like the expectation of 2020 and 21 and what it was supposed to look like to have us questioning God's plan for our life. To allow expectation of what I wanted to be, where I wanted to be in my career or in my family at a particular age, to have us questioning if God really cares. To allow expectations of the outworkings we thought we'd see from obedience not eventuate, and then question if God is really working in that circumstance. And I hope tonight that we can gain a greater understanding and perhaps even perspective within the context of our own life, that whether our expectations are met or not, that we can persevere, that we can continue to build our faith, and we can know that God is working all things for the good of His purposes. So why don't we pray to begin tonight? Father God, we just thank You for Your word. Lord God, we thank You for Your spirit. We thank You that You are here in this place and Your truth is available to each and every one of us. And Father God, right now we just want to stop and ask You to have Your way in each of our hearts. Lord God, this is not a message for the person next to you. It's not a message for the person next to us or someone that's not here. This is a personal message tonight. And so, Father God, we make it personal tonight, God. For every single one of us, we want to open ourselves up. We want to humble ourselves before you and say, God, speak to us. May this word be deeply rooted in each and every one of us. And Father God, may we know your truth tonight in a greater way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. So tonight I've titled this message, What to Expect When You're Expecting. What to Expect When You're Expecting. And no, Holly and I are not expecting. I'm sure you all know the reference, What to Expect When You're Expecting often is applied to being pregnant and expecting a child. And whilst this has never been us, Holly and I, Holly still feels the need to coach me in the things that I need to be aware of, because she feels that if the women need to know the preparation side of things and everything that happens, then so should the men. And hear me now, I don't disagree with that. I do not disagree, I repeat. It's very important to listen and to understand. And I've come a long way in this issue. See, I know now that it is not fair to question whether giving birth or getting hit where it hurts as a guy is comparable. Like, I know that there's more pain that comes one on the other, although we'll never be able to really compare. But I've also learned that when you see a pregnant lady, it's not okay to say, look how big you're getting. Apparently there's such a thing as skinny pregnant people, and the word men is glowing. They are glowing. Finally, I've learned that if your wife is pregnant, there is no price tag too high to match the price of the baby that she's carrying. Rings, holidays, you name it, or she names it, there's no price tag. So even as guys, there's plenty to expect when she's expecting. But the truth is, expectation is a part of life, not just in that period of your life when you're expecting to expect, but in all aspects of our life, whether that be for an experience, a person, a job, a relationship. And each of these expectations will have one of three outcomes. They will either be met, they will either be exceeded, or they will either be unfulfilled. Met, exceeded, or left unfulfilled. And out of the outworkings of our expectations, particularly those that lead to disappointment or were not what we had expected as the outcome, we can expect an attack on our response from the enemy. Hence, what to expect when we're expecting. But at the same time, as the word says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, when we are tempted, God will provide a way out for us to endure it. And there is always a God-honoring response that challenges and grows our faith, which we're going to look at tonight as well. There's a choice that we have, as we heard this morning, in response to expectations that are met, that are exceeded, or that are unfulfilled. And we get a choice to respond in a certain way. And we're going to do this by looking at a story in 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5 tonight. And it follows the character of a guy called Naaman. And Naaman was a commander of an army of Syria. It says, in the eyes of his master, he was a great and honorable man, and is described as a man of great courage and valor, the same word described to as characters such as David and Gideon in the Bible as well. So you can picture him as highly respected, he's sought after, he's wealthy, he's at the top of his field, he's that kind of guy. And yet, just as each of us have weaknesses, so Naaman had an obvious burden to carry. Despite all his success, Naaman was a leper. He was deteriorating, and in ancient leprosy, this was a big deal. It would start as red spots, and then it would end up breaking off your limbs until you completely rot away. And for Naaman, he had no answers for this disease. This wasn't something he could combat with a sword or something that he had his reputation for or was really good at. This was something that was beyond him. And so we're reading from 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 3, where it says this. Now Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of this leprosy." I just want to pause there, because I think that in itself is an incredible story, an incredible incident of almost an incidental missionary. This girl has been taken captive from Israel to live as a servant in Syria of this opposition of her people. And yet in the moment of her greatest valley, in amongst the darkness, she is able to speak God into the lost, into a nation that is in the opposition to God's people. And referring to our theme, Freedom for the Year, this girl was physically and literally in the opposite
of freedom. She was being held captive as a slave, and yet she held the key to ultimate freedom that the very people who were holding her captive needed. I wonder if you ever have ever, or even now, you find yourself in a dark space, in the midst of a challenge where you don't feel free, where you feel like you're being held captive in a space you'd prefer not to be in. Remember that you carry freedom with you. There are going to be people with you in exactly that circumstance that need to know the freedom that you have. Just like this girl in this situation held the freedom, despite her being in captivity, she held the freedom that the very people who were holding her required, that they needed. It would have been easy for her to have been bitter, to have thought, well, they're keeping me captive here, they've stolen me, and to have kept it to herself. But instead, she allowed God to use her in this circumstance. Let's read on in verse 4. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. By all means, go, the king of Aram replied. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing, which is apparently around about $1.2 million, so a lot of money. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me, stand and call upon the name of his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. This is not what Naaman was expecting. He'd come all this way and he found out this obscure way to be healed, and it's not what he wanted. And reflecting on some commentaries on this passage, Charles Spurgeon concluded that there were two enemies contributing to the response of Naaman in this circumstance. And these are two enemies that we can expect to face when our expectations are not met, when God doesn't answer the way that we had hoped or anticipated. And the first one illustrated by Naaman was pride. Number one is pride. When it comes to our expectations, we are in trouble when our response to those unmet expectations is firstly out of pride. Naaman says, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand on the spot and cure me of my leprosy." I thought this was going to happen. We could almost picture him saying, I'm a commander of an army. No one speaks to me like this, let alone sends out a messenger on their behalf to speak to me. You'd think he would at least treat me with the respect that I've earned. And we all have moments where pride can get in the way, and it's no secret in the office that when it comes to using the guillotine, I'm not the best, and I bought an instrument. I put it under here before and I forgot about it because I didn't want to be a distraction. But this thing here, it also, not only my cutting on the guillotine, but also it transfers to my cutting at home with my circular saw, which is a new thing for me. And I'd done a few things at home on the outside and it had been straight enough. But then we had a project on the inside of the house for some paneling. And when it gets onto the inside, it's Holly's domain. So the standards go up. And so I thought instead of just like hand doing it with my saw, I'd have to get a rail guiding system, which looks like this. We've got a picture. I'm sure many of you probably have one or have seen one. I hadn't heard of it before, but I saw my brother-in-law using one of these, and I thought, we need to get one of these for this project. And then I looked at the price, it was like $80. I thought, that's a bit steep, so I decided I'd make one instead. And so this thing here is my homemade rail guiding. I was pretty impressed with it, that I'd made it. But if you look close enough, you're probably not going to be that much more impressed, because I ended up cutting that thing and then I thought it looked semi-okay, but then Holly showed me just how terrible it looked against the straight line. It was kind of bent down one way. And the thing is that this in itself, if you look hard enough, is not actually straight. And so despite the fact that I had worked so hard at staying to this rail guard system that I'd created, it was the rail guard system that actually was the problem, not my ability to stick to it, not my ability to soar down the middle of it. But Andy's laughing at it because he can see from here. I couldn't see it. I couldn't understand that it wasn't straight, but apparently it's not. My attention to detail isn't the greatest, guys, so we can't be good at everything. But my problem was that I was relying on my own crooked benchmark to create a straight line. And so often we can look to our own expectations as the benchmark, and as a result, we can be left with unfulfilled potential. We can walk away because things don't add up to our own expectations, similar to what Tim was mentioning this morning about when things don't add up, when we are listening to the wrong voice. We can so often rely upon our own resources, our own understanding, our own skill set to act as our rail guide. Naaman had an idea in his mind of how this was supposed to go down. This was his benchmark, that Elijah would come, that he would call upon his God and he would heal him. And we know that God could have healed him in this way. But there was something standing in the way, and it was Naaman's pride. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride comes before destruction, an arrogant spirit before a fall." James 4:6, "God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble." And James 4:10, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." So here's two completely polar opposites, and it's very clear in the word, pride and humility. We can choose one or the other, and it is essential for our walk, every single one of us, that we are humble before God's call on our lives. And the second enemy that we can expect to face when we face unmet expectations are evil questions. Naaman faces evil questioning. He says, "Are not the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" We read in the word time and time again that the enemy loves to try and use questions to steer us away from God. Again, as Tim mentioned this morning, he goes to Eve in the garden and he says, did God really say that? And these questions, again, they link to our own pride, causing us to question God's method against human logic. In the physical, it makes sense to cleanse yourself in cleaner water, as Naaman was saying. But again, this was not about meeting physical demands. This was not about making sense. This was not even about the leprosy. This was about something far greater. And as a result of pride, we see Naaman walk away in rage. Because it wasn't what he had in mind. It wasn't the process that he had or the expectation that he had for the call that God had. Can you imagine, and I was thinking about this, the way that God would often be able to see and perhaps be so disappointed or frustrated when he sees people who have a call on their life and they just choose to give up or walk off in the other direction. When he knows if they just stick at it, if you just look to me and trust me for my call, then it would make sense in the long run. I heard someone say this week, sometimes we can miss God's provision because it is disguised as a problem. Sometimes we can miss God's provision because it is disguised as a problem. And just as Naaman walked away because to him dipping in the Jordan seven times was a problem, we can allow the problem before us to silence the provision that comes through it. For 3 days, Jesus on the cross, it looked like a problem. His followers were mourning the loss of their Savior. And yet what started as a problem resulted in provision. Each of us have problems in our life, some big, some small. But we can't discount the fact that God can and will bring provision out of our problems. Just as Naaman asked God to make him better, we can do the same with our circumstances. And when God gives us an opportunity, even if it's disguised as a problem, it is our responsibility to be obedient and to receive that provision. It could be a new job. It could be a new opportunity. It could be to show love to your neighbors who you think are a little bit annoying, but God's told you to go and show love. It could be a season of difficulty that actually ends up drawing us closer to God. Let's not miss God's provision because it looks like a problem. As we carry on in verse 13, we see Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed. You know, this servant actually plays a really pivotal role in this story. The servant in this moment is able to see past the pride of Naaman and is strong enough to challenge him. And the right voices in our life are God's grace for us to get back on the right track. If the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? If the prophet had told you to give up the $1.2 million that you brought with you or make a dozen sacrifices, would you not have done that? But because this requires humility and is not what you were expecting, you're turning around. You see, we need the right voices to pull us up when we need it. It's why we need the Word of God. It's why we need Christian influencers who know us, who we love and trust. Because God will put these people in our life as an element of His grace to get us back on the right track. So when our character starts to drift off in our response to our life not panning out the way that we had hoped, when our walk starts to reflect the world rather than God, we need people who can speak truth into the direction of our life. And when the right voices speak, it is our responsibility then to listen. And on this point, I want to go one step further tonight and say that when we find ourselves in a season of unmet expectation, we need to be seeking God's voice. And Pastor Graham shared last week about taking one step at a time as God calls us into the next step and listening and seeking for His voice. And sometimes we might be at a fork in the road, and it's often in those moments that we come to God and it's an obvious one. So we go, God, I'm at this fork. I need to know which way to turn. And we ask Him and He opens the right door and we walk through it. And we go, thank you, God. That's great. And we just keep walking. And then we realize that we're not actually where God had hoped we'd be in the long run, because we just asked Him for that one moment, but then we just continue to walk in our own strength. When it's really about every single step, seeking God's voice every single step of the way. And on this occasion, Naaman listens. He listens to the servant. In verse 14, he says, so he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. So here's our turning point. Naaman decides to act out of obedience and we see him healed. But the thing that stood out to me above all else when I was reflecting upon this story, because we know that God could have cleansed Naaman the way that he had expected in the first place. We know he could have done it through Elijah and he could have done it right on the spot. But I found it interesting that in verse 11, Naaman says, as part of what he was expecting, that his God would heal me, that Elisha's God would heal him. And perhaps that was part of the problem in Naaman's expectation. You see, God didn't want Elisha's God to heal Naaman, or Elisha to heal Naaman. God wanted Naaman to recognize that it was his God that would heal him, that it was Naaman's God. Because to God, this was not about the cleansing of the leprosy. This was about the cleansing of the heart. When we come to God with our requests, we've got to understand that from God's perspective, yes, He cares about the outcome of our request because it matters to us, it matters to Him. But more than that, He cares about what the outcome is going to do for us internally, spiritually. He cares about the maturity of our faith. And in Naaman, we see that he was courageous. We saw that he was strong. But what God needed to see from Naaman was humility and obedience. Because obedience leads to faith. Faith leads to salvation. And salvation equals true cleansing. Romans 1 verse 5 says, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. We first received grace, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, that he gave his son for each of us. And that brings about our obedience of faith. And James 2:17 says, thus also faith by itself without works is dead. It was the faith that God could heal Naaman that brought about the obedience. For Naaman, it was the leprosy he needed breakthrough in. And just as there are many things in our life that we pray for breakthrough in as well, it may be an illness, an injury, maybe a work or home situation or a relationship. And I'm not pretending tonight to understand or know what you're going through. Only God knows exactly how you're feeling and what you're going through. And I know that many have been through much much more difficult things than I have. But each of us have a response when our expectations aren't met. So how is yours? Is it to take matters into your own hands when our expectations aren't met? Well, I gave God a go, so now it's over to me. Do you find yourself going to the wrong people for advice or support? Or do you allow the enemy to start speaking up to say, God doesn't care about you? It's because of what you've done. This is what you deserve. Or is our response to seek God's voice and then act in obedience with what he says? Because that is a true reflection of where our faith is at. When we're believing for breakthrough in a certain area in our life, can we be humble enough to trust God above what we see and act out of obedience? It may not always be a massive act of obedience. It could just be, God, I trust you in this moment. Or perhaps God just wants us to continue to press in, to pray, to spend time in his presence. Because the biggest breakthrough of our lives doesn't have to be big. Sometimes it might be small. Because faith is built on diligence and dedication to the small moments of obedience. The small moments of obedience, those are the things that contribute to our faith. And so we need to build the foundation of our faith upon God's word, not on what makes sense, not on what we see, and not on how we feel. In Romans 8:28, a popular verse, it says, we know God works all things together for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And then another massive one, and this is a huge one for me, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added onto you. I love that word added. I think is so important, added onto you. Naaman starts off his journey seeking breakthrough and healing of his leprosy, but along the journey he hears of God and the faith that leads to obedience, shifting his focus from the healing perhaps to the main thing, to the healing just being an addition to what the real deal is. Because now he knows that there's a God that exists. He knows there's a God who's with him. He knows there's a bigger picture to all of this. And so firstly, he is seeking the kingdom. And in the same way, when we come to God for our breakthrough, we can have confidence that at the end of the day, God is good, he is faithful, and the kingdom is secure. Therefore, this breakthrough is not going to make or break my faith. I'm putting it in its rightful place as an addition. So when things aren't going the way I expected, I can trust God. I can trust God that he is in control. No matter what the outcome, no matter how long it takes, something you can expect when you're expecting is God will always challenge us to go deeper in our faith through perseverance. I love that Naaman had to dip in the Jordan 7 times. It wasn't just going there once and dipping in. Because in life these days, we can have everything on our fingertips. We want everything straight away. And social media is a great example of that. We've started off with Facebook to see what friends were doing faster than just seeing them in person. And then we went to Instagram because all we cared about was photos and videos. Then we went to TikTok because we wanted a shortened version of those videos. And then we went to Vines, which is like 7 seconds, because that's our attention span. And things are fast, they're snappy, things are happening all the time. And yet God required 7 dips from Naaman to see the healing. And it was Naaman's follow-through that led to the breakthrough. We know that the number 7 illustrates God's completion and fullness in the word. We hear about how in 6 days God created the earth, and then on the 7th he rested. And it was the 7th day of marching around Jericho that we know the walls came crumbling down. And there's so many examples of that. And whilst it was probably frustrating for Naaman to wash 7 times, think, why couldn't he just done this on the first time? This was God's way of saying to each of us here, he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. It may not make sense to us in the moment. It may take so much longer than we had hoped or imagined, but God is going to complete it. He's going to complete what he started, so don't leave before he's done. I will finish what I started in you. Don't leave before I'm done. We can expect when our expectations aren't met that the enemy will do everything in his power to get us to leave, to give up on the 3rd try, or to give up on the 6th dip. But God tells us to persevere. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And I want to just close tonight with this picture of an oak tree. up here. And oak trees are a beautiful tree. They show the beauty in God's creation. And there is so much character in an oak tree that is developed over centuries and centuries. And an oak tree doesn't just develop overnight. It doesn't just pop up all of a sudden. It takes actually years and years and years to develop the character that it has and to grow into the tree that it is behind me. And in the same way, God wants us to know that whilst our expectation might be to grow into an oak tree overnight, the building of our faith is a continual process, and the circumstances that we find ourselves in are only going to add to the testimony of who He develops us into. We are a constant, constant work. We are to continue building our faith, and in that we see Christ's perfection, the oak tree that is developed in each of us to reflect Christ through our willingness to continue to persevere and be faithful in obedience. Our job is to seek God's voice, to trust and obey in the moments that we see breakthrough and the moments that we don't. So what to expect when you're expecting? Expect God to challenge our pride with humility. Expect the enemy to throw questions on God's authority into your mind. Expect God's voice to be available to you when you seek it. Expect an opportunity to be obedient through faith and perseverance. And expect God to build the maturity of our faith in time as we seek first the kingdom. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for just this incredible picture of two alternatives and the way in which we so often are faced with a choice to respond to unmet expectations, to our different expectations that we have in life. And Father, we come before you right now as humans. And Father God, may we have the perspective that we do not know everything, that we cannot see the way that you see. And so, Father, right now, wherever people are at, wherever people are feeling right now, whether it's feeling that disappointment or that weight of unmet expectations or something that they'd hoped would outwork in a certain way and have seen it outwork in a different way, Father God, right now, we want to say that we trust you. Lord God, our faith is in you. God, we want to grow deeper in the ways of you. And in doing so, Father God, we know that you can provide every provision that we need. And our sight is not set on the things right before us. Our sight is fixed on the kingdom, Lord God. As we seek first the kingdom, we know everything else on earth will be added onto you. It's not the essential, it's an addition, because we have the security in knowing where we are heading. We know who you are, Lord God, and we just thank you so much that our future is secure in you. So, Lord God, I pray over any person that is feeling as though they need a breakthrough. Lord God, may we continue to dive in to what it is that you are wanting to do in that situation. May we continue to seek your voice first and foremost to guide our every step. And Lord God, that we would see you work incredible things as we know you will do, as we give you the opportunity to do so in our lives. So Father God, we pray that you would have your way this week as we go. And Lord God, may we be challenged by what you are saying to us, and may we act in obedience in each step. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.